Meeting, we'll go to agenda item 6B, which is strategic planning workshop.
Morning again, directors. President Sullivan. This item is included in your package, and it's more of an update on where we are in the strategic planning process and a follow-up from the first strategic planning session that we had regarding a couple of activities we've undertaken to advance the strategic plan, and then also to get any additional suggestions that you might have before we finalize the formal strategic planning document and bring it back to the board for consideration. So included in your package is the presentation, but we also have an outline, a very detailed outline of the strategic planning process. That's included if you want, or the strategic plan, rather. That's included as an attachment to your board letter. Let me just go through that very quickly here. So we want to very recap the board workshop number one. We did conduct a management workshop with our management staff, received some input on the strategic plan, and then we'll give you an overview of the next steps and timeline. So the board workshop number one was on the 27th of March. As you recall, we spent time going through the strategic plan, the existing strategic plan, and identifying what changes we wanted to make overall to the mission, vision, guiding principles. We talked about the format of the document, and there seemed to be consensus that it was a good use of the format. Also, I had a chance to discuss industry game changers and updated the language, providing some clarifications. As I mentioned in the first workshop, we really look at the strategic plan to define the overall projects and programs of the district. So everything we do at a departmental level kind of flows back up to the strategic plan and to our strategic priorities. We have really made quite a bit of progress since the last strategic plan. 49 of the 76 projects are complete. Many of these are multi-year. 27 will be carried over into the new strategic plan. So we're very pleased with the action that we've, or the accomplishments that we've had in the document. So a big part of our discussion last time was on the industry game changers. The board made some additional suggestions on that. But one of the things, and again, what you'll see is in the strategic plan, there'll be areas where we're addressing some of these, dealing with the current political changes, both on the state and federal level, the conflict between California's administration and the federal administration, a changing workforce. This is where we talked about how the workforce is changing both intergenerationally as well as the need for succession planning, the effects of climate variation on our operations, customer demand and access to diverse, easy technology. Director Pauly mentioned this morning with the AMI. What do we do next with the AMI to give customers that, what we call kind of the Amazon level of service in terms of their ability to interact and pay the district and receive their services? Also involving imported water uncertainty relating to the timing and capacity of the water fix. And then the trend towards a water agency consolidation and privatization, which we're seeing in the cities around us. And then also, we can not listed up here is land use resiliency. And the question we dealt with is 38% built out, really 38% built out. How is that going to impact our overall water resources master plan and our facilities master plan on the water and wastewater side? So we made some changes to the mission and vision statement. They're described up here. We just added one word, diverse, into the mission statement. On the vision statement, we reemphasized and reworded it to emphasize providing exceptional customer and community services just versus providing essential services. So those are shown there. We went through the guiding principles. And no big changes except for leadership and safety. We did reword those on the leadership side, really discussing how we take a proactive role in kind of leading industry policies, practices, and initiatives. And then on the safety side, we tightened up that safety statement to ensure the safety of our employees and the public without compromise, which is consistent with our CalOSHA programs and our CalSTAR certification. on the standards of excellence. We went through this statement, made some wording changes, but essentially still have the seven standards of excellence, which is really what the strategic plan is organized under. So highly reliable water, wastewater, and recycle service, protection of public health and the public and environmental health, superior customer service, sound planning and operational efficiency, fiscal responsibility and appropriate investment, exemplary employer, and then communication, advocacy, and community partnerships. So the last one was amended, as well as sound planning and operational efficiency. We had an investment up there, and we took that down on the fiscal side. So this is what we ended up with as a result of that first workshop. So we took this to a management workshop on the 17th of April. In those workshops, we invite all supervisors with the district, all managers, all department directors, and the executive management team. We did a facilitated workshop, went through the same portions of the strategic plan and process that we did with the board of directors, talked about the game changers, got more kind of insight on some of the game changers, including the ones that the board members identified a new game changer or some revisions to those, and engaged in a good discussion. So out of that, we end up revising the strategic priorities to reflect the input we received from the board and the management staff. As you can see, under the first strategic priority, this deals with water, wastewater, and recycled service. Land use resiliency, you can see, is a new one that's up there. That really addresses the issue of our level of build out and whether we're going to see increased densities that will change our master plan substantially. Water quality management, we changed from salinity management. This deals with all aspects of water quality related issues. And then resource management, from just focusing on biosolids to also include things like biogas and other byproducts that we have in resources. Under the protection of public and environmental health, we just put it right in there, permitting and regulatory compliance. We had planning in there before. That's really what we do under our health and protection of health, and so we wanted to focus on that specifically, so that was the only change there. Under sound planning and operational efficiency, we refined this to be consistent with the title of this. Operational efficiency was formerly business process and technology, and I'll talk about where we move those in a moment. We added groundwater management administration. This is really new because, again, we are the groundwater sustainability agency for the western portion of our service area, and we have specific responsibilities associated with that, as well as tasks. Information technology investments we identified specifically, and this was another one that came out of the workshop with the staff and the management staff, was technology security. Again, this is something we're seeing more and more exposure to, basically cybersecurity threats. We have a good cybersecurity master plan, but we need to continue to keep up with technology security in all forms of the technologies that we use. Particularly complemented if we start allowing or provide more venues for customers and others to interface with us electronically. Fiscal responsibility and appropriate investment, there were no changes in that section. Under the exemplary employer, workforce evolution. This is where we're specifically focusing on our changing workforce and the intergenerational issues between the three generations of people we have in the workforce right now, and also succession planning. We also defined the performance instead of productivity. It's overall performance, both in terms of job performance, productivity, but also performing as an employee, and then engagement. In terms of communication, engagement being two-way communication versus one-way communication. We then added, under effective communication and advocacy, transparency, kind of an obvious miss in the previous version of our strategic plan, so we wanted to include something on that. So the next steps in the process and the timeline are the initial draft of the document is completed. We're going to conduct some employee town hall meetings. In those situations, we'll basically give the presentation to all employees. So we'll do multiple meetings. We'll allow the employees to give us some feedback. We'll then take that feedback, put it into a final draft of the strategic planning document, and bring that back to the board. But also we will now develop the detailed list of projects and programs for 2019 to 2021 that accompanies the strategic plan. So the overall timeline is as follows. The employee town hall meetings will be May 14th and 15th. We have those on the calendar. And then we'd like to bring the strategic plan back to the board for final discussion and consideration at your June 5th meeting. So with that, in the interest of time, I wanted to go through that. I can go back to any questions, any specific questions that you have on any of the sections or revisions that we've made today. Are we headed in the right direction here?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Okay, without that, we'll go again to our next steps, and that will be for the all-employee meetings, and then we'll look forward to bringing something back to the board on the first meeting on June 5th for consideration. So,
are we having those employee meetings at various sites around the district, employee sites?
It's a mix, so we have them, most of them we do in shifts in this room.
Okay.
So we'll bring people, field guys, they'll come here at the end of the day or very early in the morning before they go out to the field. So we try to schedule the meetings conducive with the employees' work schedule.
Okay, just make sure everybody gets the
opportunity. Absolutely. Everybody will get cracked at the general manager on this.
That's what I was aiming at.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments?
No.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. With that, we'll go to agenda item 7, which is to receive and file or accept a motion and a second for approval of items 7A through 7B.
I'll make the motion.
One second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. With that, we will go to calendar review. Nicole.
Good morning, President Sullivan, members of the board. I have two new events for your consideration. First is May 23rd, which is a Thursday. The Global Ag Innovation Group will be hosting an event at UC Riverside. It's entitled California Agriculture, Gaining Ground Through Innovation and Collaboration. The district is a sponsor for that event. It runs from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And Mr. Record, you're presenting at that event?
Moderating, I think.
Okay.
I will be there.
And the Science Under the Stars event has been scheduled for September 14th, which is a Saturday. This year's theme is Science of the Seas. The district does have a sponsorship and will have seats available. That event is at 5 p.m. Moving to page 2, we have the board's master calendar through May 15th. Tomorrow, May 2nd, the Elsinore Valley board meeting, which is John Vega's farewell meeting, will be held in Lake Elsinore at 9 a.m. Director Sullivan is scheduled to attend.
Yes.
And tomorrow afternoon, we have the Board Administrative Committee meeting at 4 p.m. for Directors Pauley and Sullivan. Friday, May 3rd, Director Pauley has an update meeting with Deputy General Manager Nomura, 7:30 a.m. And on Friday, May 3rd as well, Director Sullivan has an outreach meeting with April Cody at 9 a.m.
Great.
Monday, May 6th at 7:30 a.m., Director Pauley has his update meeting with the General Manager. And on Monday, May 6th as well, the WRCOG Executive Committee will meet at 2 p.m., Director Slauson. And we have the Opera Spring Conference in Monterey next week from Tuesday, May 7th through Friday, May 10th. Directors Record and Sullivan will attend along with Paul Jones. Thursday, May 9th, Director Corona will attend the Rancho California Water District Board meeting at 8:30 a.m. And Director Pauley is scheduled to attend the Winchester MAC meeting at 6:30 p.m. Friday, May 10th, we have a tour of EMWD facilities scheduled with Met Director LaFave, scheduled to start at noon. It's on Director Record's calendar. And Monday, May 13th and Tuesday, May 14th are Met's board and committee meetings for Director Rucker. Monday, May 13th at 7:30 a.m., Director Corona has his update meeting with Paul Jones. The Domingo Basin Group meeting will be held here at the district on May 13th at 3:30 p.m., Director Pauley. And on Tuesday, May 14th, Director Sullivan and staff will be making a presentation to the Colonia Homeowners Association at 1 p.m. Moving to page 3, we have some upcoming dates. Events the board will be attending or may be interested in. Please let me know if you'd like additional information on any of these listed events. The upcoming board meetings for May, June, and July are listed. We have all board members scheduled to be here. Moving to page 4, we have the board committee meetings scheduled. And just a note that the July administrative committee meeting has been moved to July 2nd to avoid the July 4th holiday. The interagency meetings, district holidays, and out-of-office schedule are listed. Do we have any changes or updates to the calendar? Thank you. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Okay. Let's go to the director's calendars review. Director Pauley.
Yes, I had the opportunity, along with Joe, to go out with the chairman of the Winchester MAC, who wanted to show us some of the development areas going on at Winchester, and I thought it was very helpful. Joe, I think you thought it was a good tour that we did, a windshield tour of what's going on in the Winchester area, and hopefully so we can look at our planning process in the future as development comes into that area. I had a great meeting with April. I thought when April took over, she had some big shoes to fill, and I think she's definitely filling them. We had a good conversation about some of the outreach activities and things in my area, and I just want to say I think April was doing a fantastic job. So thank you for that. I attended the Southern California Water Committee luncheon last Friday in Carson, a lot of speakers talking about the Hyperion plant and some of the recycled water opportunities in Los Angeles. One of the panelists was the chief operating officer of LADWP. And it just emphasized to me how much further along and how advanced we are in recycled water compared to the rest of Southern California. And I give Director Record great credit for leading this district and all our staff. But it's quite amusing to me when you listen to some of what they consider, 6% and 7% recycled usage, and think that they should get gold stars for that. But anyway, it's always interesting. And then I attended yesterday at Director Record, the other day, I guess, some issues on uncovering talks with the city of Hemet. So that is my report.
Okay, Director Record.
These won't be in chronological order, but we'll start with the MET meetings. Standing committee meetings on March 26th included a workshop on Delta conveyance, which was, to my surprise, very well attended, and I thought it was good. A lot of good questions asked. On March 28th, attended a workshop at UC Davis with MET staff. I've been working with them on some potential uses of the Delta Islands, and they have some ideas about how different farming practices could take place, which would regenerate the ground, and instead of subsidence, you would have some regeneration of the soil level. And if we can get to a point where we get some credits for carbon, it would be a big winner and create a path forward for growers in the South Delta that are, I think the world's coming to an end because there's going to be a tunnel underground. So that seems to hold a lot of promise. Attended the Aqua board meeting on March 29th as vice chair of Ag Committee. The joint Inland Orange County Caucus meeting review of the MET agenda. It was a good meeting. Dennis Underwood Conservation Area dedication down in Palo Verde Valley. Commissioner Berman was there. It was a very nice event, and it was those the habitat area that's in existence now has been a great success, and this one looks very promising as well. Standing committee meeting April 23rd. Just a pretty light agenda for that one. On April 11th, attended the MWD, San Diego County Water Authority Litigation Settlement Conference. Trying to make progress. It's different leadership there now, so it's a little different meeting, but still very challenging. On April 15th, also been working with Chico State, has a regenerative ag initiative, and they're interested in doing a cotton trial in Blythe, and so we had a meeting with the half dozen growers, but and there's not all that much interest in doing something on cotton, but there's a lot of interest on how MET might manage a fallowed land and the fallowing program in a different manner. So probably be a proposal from them about doing a trial on that. It's a very productive meeting. April 22nd, I had been asked to be on the board of the California Farm Water Coalition. That was the first board meeting, which I really like that organization. I think Mike Wade does a really good job. Did get quite a bit of pushback from Norma Delinda from IID board about DCP. So anyway, Peter Nelson is on that board. And he as the chair of the Colorado River board, I think he does a very good job. And I'll talk to her and then talk to me later. So it's, I mean, she needs to be heard. I mean, you know, Imperial is by far the biggest contributor to that organization. But there seems to be a little bit of a lack of understanding from Director Linda. CRA tour, 26th and 27th, last Friday and Saturday, was a good tour. And then Monday, the meeting with IUA, two of their directors, I thought was a good meeting. I couldn't attend the tour, but both directors were very engaged and asked a lot of good questions, and so I'm very glad that I was able to do that. And then yesterday, there was a meeting with Governor Newsom on Delta Conveyance. Gloria Gray was in D.C. and couldn't make it, so she asked me to take her spot. So it was Jeff Keitlinger, myself, Tony Estimera, who's Santa Clara Valley Water District, who's the chair of the Design Build JPA, and his general manager. I don't remember Norma's last name, but
Camacho,
and Jennifer Pierre, State Water Contractors, general manager. Also, Carla Nemeth and Wade Crowfoot, and. You know, the governor said all the right things. He's going to make an announcement tomorrow advocating for one tunnel, and we've pretty much laid it out what we need, and he's in agreement, so we'll see. I mean, my role as not just a Met director, but as the chair of the finance authority was, okay, we're going to start over again somewhat on environmental, so we've got another two and a half years of funding that the finance authority can't do, because without a project, how do we borrow money? So it's going to have to come from the agencies that have signed up, and that's going to be a difficult ask for some of us, because, you know, I mean, that's already into it, $70 million, and now we're going to have to continue to fund it. So I suggested that it's very important that the governor says this is a real project, and I'm supporting it, and it will happen, which he said he understands and he will do, and would be happy to come to Metropolitan whenever that's necessary. So, I mean, if you're happy with one tunnel, and it's certainly better than none, I think it was about as good a meeting as you could expect. So, at any rate, we'll see what comes out tomorrow. There was kind of consensus that what he put out earlier this week was, you know, about a portfolio was missing quite a bit of substance, but at any rate, we'll try to keep moving forward. Eastern meetings, we had Director Cronin and I met with Rancho on April 2nd. I thought that was a good meeting. And Cibola Resort Grand Opening, I thought was a very nice event. And I think the tribe did a very good job on that. Update with General Manager, always good. I presented to the Hamilton Center Center Action Group on some water issues. I talked mostly about Delta and the need for conveyance, and then this meeting on City of Hammond issues yesterday. And that's it.
Okay. Director Slauson.
Yes, I attended the Moreno Valley Historical Society dinner, and we had a small sponsorship. Kevin was there, and of course, water is what really created Sunnymead, the old Sunnymead at the beginning. So it's good we have a presence there. I attended the Moreno Valley Springtastic community event. Alan and Kevin were both there, manning the cold water tap. Faucets for everyone, and it's a good outreach, and it's a good informational presentation for all the people. A lot of them just say, is tap water okay to drink? But they go ahead and drink it, but there's a little, they give them a spiel, you know, how the testing we do and how it is. It is fine, notwithstanding the EWG. Had an update with the general manager, and that's always informative. Attended the Wake Up, Moreno Valley Wake Up Chamber of Commerce Company breakfast. Sheriff Chad Bianco was the speaker, the guest speaker, and gave us an update, and plus city and school and different businesses gave presentations as well. Attended the Riverside County Water Task Force, and yes, Peter Nelson did a great presentation, and the other presenters as well, giving us an outline of what where our supplies are currently in the Colorado River and California Aqueduct. I also attended the WRCOG meeting on the 1st, and they discussed, among other things, the an update on the PACE program, the TUMP program, and then the fee comparison study that they conducted. And I had sort of an outline given to me by Paul and Ron, but it is what it is. That's it.
Okay. I missed the Hemet San Jacinto Action Group. Sorry, I missed that one. The update with General Manager is always enlightening, and I always appreciate that. I went to the annual student recognition event at Harvest Valley School. One of will be probably the last presentation from Malia, and she will be missed. It was a great event to see all the kids and their parents and the teachers and other school officials there to participate in that. I thought it was a great evening. The Riverside County Water Task Force, it was an exceptional meeting, I thought, and speakers. You know, I thought that Brad Coffey, is that first name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did an excellent job. He got a number of questions from some of the people in the audience. And it was, you know, Paul does a great job, I think, in lining up the speakers for that. And it is well attended. I went to the Paris Health Fair Saturday. It was a nice event. Everybody likes to come by the EMWD tent and have a drink of water and get their sunglasses and their lip gloss. And so it's a chance just to talk to a whole bunch of folks. And so it was a nice day. That was it. Okay, Council, do we have a reason for agenda for a closed session today?
Yes, we do, Mr. President. As identified on the agenda, one on existing litigation and one on property negotiations.
I'd like to make some comments under item 9.
Sure. I'm sorry.
A couple of things. I forgot to mention that I talked to Wade Crowfoot after the meeting yesterday, and he would like to talk to us about MARV. So I said, that's great. Will you be at Aqua? And he said, yes. So be prepared. I'll reach out to him and see if he can give me a time.
Okay, if you let me know.
Yeah, I will. And also, every month I get a report on the met agenda from Eastern staff, and I want to make sure everybody understands that's very valuable to me. So I just want to say I appreciate that.
Sure.
And then an issue that came up lately, I think everybody knows that I'm pretty adamant or anal or whatever you want to call it about non-functional turf. And right across from my driveway, this development is redoing their landscape, and I thought, perfect, they're going to do it the right way. And then they proceeded to lay turf down. So reached out to Paul and Jolene, and they're going to fix it. And it was just one of those things that happened. It was probably good that it happened right across the street. So I was aware of it, but I just want to say, Paul, that I appreciate that. There's no question in my mind that our staff is committed to making a change in that regard. So, you know, stuff's going to happen, but I was pleased that I really felt like the commitment's there from our staff. So.
Well, I appreciate that. We're going to rectify that situation and are kind of really looking into how that happened. And what was interesting is the contractor, as you know, was Adame who was putting it in. They know our standards backwards and forwards, and actually our staff talked to them in the field, and they said, well, we thought this was kind of an unusual request from the city. You know, so there was some miscommunication and misinterpretation of the requirements that went on. So we're going to get that ironed out. So I think it's probably good. We found a little hole in the armor.
Yeah.
And so if we can get that closed up, I think we can do a better job. So
it took a few days to turn it into a positive, but...
yeah, well, I'm not saying it was a positive.
It wasn't your fault.
Well, I think it... Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to respond just to Randy just for a second. You know, I think it's a riot that Wade Prof that... said he now wants to have a meeting because from our last D.C. meeting, he and other people in the governor's office were going to get calls, did get calls from Feinstein's office and from some other folks.
Takano
and some others. And so it'll be interesting to see how much that kind of semi-pays
off. To give you a little context, when Monday Morning Group was in Sacramento, we met with them and talked about water tax and how we don't believe it's appropriate, and then moved on to the grant that we're going after from Prop 1. And Wade said, oh, so you don't want to pay for someone else's problems, but you want the state to pay for an issue that you have. So it was pretty in my face about, and so this could just be a continuation of that. I don't know.
No, and I think Paul was pretty, you know, we were pretty adamant about asking, can they write a letter? And they said, you know what, this is a federal nexus, and so we're going to call. You know, we need to be doing something. And so, you know, I hope it's not back to just being him trying to negotiate something.
Well, to get it out there, we certainly can't trade support for the water tax for the grant.
No,
I mean, I think
no.
We just basically say thanks, but no thanks at that point.
Yeah.
Paul Jones' opinion, sorry.
No, I think it's all of our.
You don't negotiate with terrorists.
We throw everybody else out. All the other water districts under the bus so we can get a little money.
Is the recording off?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's all right. Dave.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. When I got back from my surgery and came home, there were flowers from the district, from the board and the staff, and I really appreciated it. It was nice little pleasant surprise. So thank you.
Sure.
Well, it really wasn't from us. They were left over from Miller Jones.
Yes, but he makes you pay for them.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sorry, counsel.
Yes, two items, Mr. President. One under existing litigation and one under property negotiation.
All right.